Hi. This question is really important to me. I'm wondering how you can be so confident that our way is the right way. With all the different religions in the world, all the different ways of interpreting the Bible, how can we be sure that we have the right way, or does it even matter?
Does it even matter? I'm glad you asked that, Jericho. I want to make a note to everyone, by the way. This booth over here has been and is just a fun way to each week remind us of this series. I've got questions. We've all got questions, don't we? And just like Lucy Van Pelt probably isn't really a source of answers to life, neither is anything that comes just from me personally, not really. My ongoing goal is we share these questions that you've turned in, by the way, is that you'll be like the Bereans. The Bereans that Luke mentions in Acts chapter 17. It says, "Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. May the Lord make us like the people of Berea, so that we examine the scriptures diligently, daily, to see if the things that we hear are true. I can only give you a nickel's worth, but the real answers are going to be found only when we examine the scriptures." Amen? So I wanted to make that note today. We'll keep having fun with it, but remember, it's a fun way to deal with something that really is a very serious matter. The big question for the day, in fact, is a serious question. How can I be sure? Or can I even be sure? Does it even matter? So does it matter? You know, I got to looking at that question and thinking, there are indeed a lot of things in life that just don't matter. Like, everything that has to do with TV or movies. Think about it. Are you going to look back at the end of your life and wish that you had watched more movies, more videos, more TV? Oh, I just wish that I had done that. Doesn't really matter, does it? Here's one. Is your car's tire pressure accurate based on cold pressure right now, or was it checked when the tires were slightly warm? Because that might be the difference between 31 pounds per square inch and 32 pounds per square inch. No, that really doesn't matter, does it? Chiefs or 49ers? See, I know Brian Beck, for instance, is going to be cheering for the Chiefs tonight. We're even going to gather in fellowship, a bunch of us together, to watch the game. But when all is said and done, regardless of who wins, does that even really matter in life? No, not really. Here's one. Before you put the biscuits in the oven, do you allow it to preheat to a full 350 degrees? Now, some of the ladies are going, "Well, that really is an important thing." And I'm here to tell you, that's one of those things in life, you can be off by a few degrees, you'll be okay. Do you have, here's another one, do you have all the latest and greatest technology? That seems to really drive a lot of people, doesn't it? But at the end of the day, that's really one of those things that doesn't matter. Here's one. Any question that begins with the words, "Don't you think?" See, that's not a question. That's a couched way of saying, I want everybody to hear what I have to say and be swayed to my opinion. Don't you think? Here's another question. Sorry, John. Paper or plastic? It really doesn't matter that much. They're both recyclable. Here's something that doesn't matter. Your high score on a video game. One of the shots fired across the bow at our men's Bible study last year was the problem of men becoming experts at things of no consequence. Rather than taking on the responsibility to lead and to invest in things that will last forever. So your high score in a video game, guys, that really doesn't matter. Here's something else that really doesn't matter, what everyone else thinks of you. At the end of the day, that's not going to be so important. There are so many things in life that just don't matter, and yet so many people focused on those things like they did. Here's a picture of Akira Haraguchi. At age 69, in 2006, it's been 14 years, but at age 69, this is a picture of him reciting to 100,000 digits pi. Remember pi? 3.14, blah, 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 blah. He did the blah, 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 for 100,000 digits. Took him 16 hours, 30 minutes. Had it memorized. Okay. Here's a picture of Ashrita Furman. Now, Ashrita Furman, get this, is the Guinness World Records record breaker. That's what he does. He has set more than 600 official Guinness records. He currently, at the time I was looking this up, currently holds 226 records. So his record is he holds the Guinness World Record for the most Guinness World Records. That's what he does. And that's a picture of him getting the record for the most watermelons sliced on your stomach with a samurai sword in 1 minute. Francis Chan writes this in his book, Crazy Love. Our greatest fear should not be the fear of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that really don't matter. Lots of things don't matter. But this question, how can I be sure? It really does matter, doesn't it? This really matters. Your presence here today demonstrates you have some interest in things that do matter. You today, by being here, are saying that you at least suspect there's more to life than just what you can hold in your hands now. And we believe and we teach that there's an eternal creator, that we're responsible to him, that there is an unseen spiritual dimension to every one of us that will exist forever somewhere. And so here we are this morning because we'd like to know about that and somehow be sure that we get that right, that we give it the right place in our thinking and in our lives. Jesus said to Martha, who was anxious and troubled about many things, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary, her sister, has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Jesus said this, you see, as Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, captivated as he taught. Rather than being captivated by anything else that was going on around her, she was focusing on what matters. Jesus applauded her for it. So I want to suggest this morning that our search for what truly matters and the way that we conduct that search ought to be a reflection of our belief that it really matters. Matthew 13, there were two short stories that Jesus told that I think are a good illustration of this search and what it ought to look like in our lives. Verse 44, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." When we deal with this question, how can I be sure? We are trying to find and get a hold of something that is valuable, important. It's important enough that we would go and sell all that we have in order to get it. Do you believe that or not? Let me encourage you this morning not to answer this question this big question with an air of despair. Not to look at this question and say about it, well, there's no way anybody can be sure of anything, really, so why bother even trying? There is an answer to this question. How can I be sure? And what you believe about it really does matter. There are some who want you to think you just can't be sure. Can't be sure about the existence of God. Can't be sure how to please Him if He does exist. And so you just accept the fact that you can't ever know for sure. And if that's you today, or if you know somebody that's like a description of them, I want to point you for a couple of minutes to a guy named Blaise Pascal, a French theologian, philosopher, mathematician who lived in the 1600s. And in his most definitive writing, Pascal put forward a way of arguing for life that is lived for God. It's usually referred to as Pascal's wager, the wager. It was an answer to the skepticism of his day. I think it is still a valid answer for the skeptics of today. Report comes up on Rockford Scanner, there is a house on fire. Turns out it's in your neighborhood. Fact on Rockford Scanner, looks like it might be your house. You're not there, but your children are. You're not sure if it's true or not that your house is on fire, so what's the reasonable thing to do? Well, do you ignore the report or do you call? Make sure everybody's okay. That's the answer. Winning sweepstakes ticket worth $1 million. Has it been won yet? The sweepstakes. There are two tickets left. One is worth $1 million. One is worthless. And those two tickets happen to be at the same Casey's store just down the street. One is a winning ticket, the other one is worthless. And you can buy only one of the two tickets. Now, under the circumstances, would it be a worthwhile investment to take $1 and 5 minutes for a chance, a 50-50 chance to win $1 million? Answer? Yeah, that'd be a worthwhile investment. No, I'm not advocating the lotto, but if it was two tickets and one was going to win, that's a different situation, isn't it? Pascal argues that deciding whether or not to believe in God is a case like these cases. Under the circumstances, even if there were no proof, no guarantee, no certainty that your bet will win, to not bet on God is foolishness. Here's why. Because denying that God exists is a losing bet no matter what. When you bet that way, there is no prize at the end, is there? It's going to lose. Pascal put it this way, either God is or He is not. But to which view shall we be inclined? Reason cannot decide this question. Infinite chaos separates us. At the far end of this infinite distance, that's death, a coin is being spun that will come down heads or tails. How will you wager? Some people look at that situation and turn to agnosticism. That's somebody saying, basically, you can't be sure. You can't know if there is a God or not. Agnosticism sounds a whole lot like no decision, doesn't it? Listen to what Peter Kreeft says about agnosticism, claiming that you can't know. Suppose Romeo proposes to Juliet, and Juliet says, give me some time to make up my mind. Suppose Romeo keeps coming back day after day, and Juliet keeps saying the same thing day after day. Perhaps tomorrow. In the words of a small female red-haired American philosopher, by the way, it's Little Orphan Annie, tomorrow is always a day away, and there comes a time when there are no more tomorrows. Then maybe becomes no. Romeo will die. Corpses do not marry. Christianity is God's marriage proposal to the soul. Saying maybe and perhaps tomorrow cannot continue indefinitely because life does not continue indefinitely. You see, in other words, not placing your bet, that's impossible. You're just betting that you'll never die. You either live like God exists or you live like he doesn't. And so Pascal argues that when you believe in God, let us assess the two cases. If you win everything. If you lose nothing. Do not hesitate then. Wager that he does exist. That's the wager. Now God spoke to the people of Judah through a prophet named Haggai. They were kind of floundering around in an indecisiveness. God had told them to get busy and rebuild the temple that had been destroyed. And in chapter 1, verse 5, Haggai, God says to his people, consider your ways. They needed to think about what was important. They needed to take some action. They needed to quit putting it off. Consider your ways, God said. And I think he might have a similar message today for people who are indecisive, for people who would be saying, well, you just can't be sure. Consider your ways. Don't just live a blind gamble. Don't throw up your hands in despair. Consider your ways so that tonight, when you lie down to sleep, you can rest in the peace and the assurance that you have actually given good attention to what matters in life. This question matters. Here's another important feature of this question, and that is that you already live by a theory of knowledge. That is just a fancy way of saying you already have a way that you decide what you believe. In other words, can you be sure about anything at all? Well, yes, you already live like you're sure of a lot of things, don't you? John encouraged the readers of 1 John, his first letter, to check up on teachers to see whether or not they were teaching the truth. That's what he's talking about in 1 John chapter 4 when he gives us these words. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Now, keeping those verses in front of you, here is something I notice about them without taking an entire message just for what they have to say. But I notice this, at the very least, we should be able to figure out some things about what is true and what isn't true. Amen? There are different ways we do that, but we have been told by God to do that. Test the spirits. That's one way we do it, is a test. In this case, John gives a kind of a test to use. He's launching out against a heresy that was growing up in that day. It's one way to decide. Use a test. That's what doctors often will do to figure out what is true about your health. A test. Another way is empiricism. We decide what's true based on what we can see, hear, taste, feel, smell. That's empirical evidence. That definitely helps, doesn't it? I think the baby needs a change. Empirical evidence. But our senses can be tricked. Imagine for a second if the only things that you believed were the things that you personally experienced with your senses. If that's all you would believe to be true in life, the fact is some 99% of what we believe in life comes from somewhere outside of ourselves. If you stop and think about it. So how do we decide what's true? Well, another way is popularity. If I hear from enough people that something's true, then I'll believe it. But I notice sometimes millions of people on social media and on TV news and other places might say something is true when it's not. So that's not a sure way to know what's true anyway. Maybe intuition, maybe that's a way to decide. Maybe you believe that something is true because you feel it real strongly. That can be dangerous, can't it? Strong feelings don't make something true, no matter how strong those feelings are. You might strongly believe that if you flap your arms hard enough, you can fly, but that's not going to change the laws when you jump off the roof. List all the different influences that you consider when you decide if you believe something or not. Some of them are good sources. Some of them just play with your emotions or with your appetites. Somehow, you decide the ones that you listen to, and that is how you decide what you believe. So choosing which influences you're going to listen to varies from person to person. That doesn't sound like a very promising way to be sure of anything, does it? But what if there is an all-knowing, all-powerful God who created us? What if that God has communicated what is true to us? What if that God has told us he is supposed to be the center of our thinking rather than ourselves? What if he says that he is the source of truth, that he is the authority regarding our choices in life? Well, then I would like to pay attention to what he says about figuring out the truth, especially when it comes to this question about where I'm going to spend forever. It's an important question. It's a question that we already have a way of approaching. And it's a question, when we go to answer it, where we need to remember that God's word is true. Just a few weeks ago, Kevin Wolf preached here encouraging you to spend time in God's word. You know, he has a real vested interest in that, especially because he has a daughter who lives in Tanzania, Africa, for the sake of people spending time in God's word. There is a reason that you'll keep hearing this important urge around here to spend time in God's word. It's because God's word is reliable and true and unchanging. 66 books written over a period of some 1,500 years by about 40 human authors in three different languages, containing a multitude of genres in multiple locations to a variety of cultures, and making claims for itself that no other book can back up, but the Bible agrees with itself completely, fits together completely, carrying one general true message. Stands the tests we use to discern if something is reliable or not. I don't have the time in this message to go over why we believe that. I will simply say this morning, if you aren't sure what you think about the Bible and its reliability, dig into it, open up the evidence, and see if it passes the test. It will. It's that word that tells us how we can be sure that we're in a right standing with God. See, God knew what he was doing when he gave us his word, so that today you and I can look into that word and be certain about our eternity. We can answer the big questions. I want you to look at a couple scriptures with me that talk about that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way. You had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. In the book of 1 John, One of the things that John just repeatedly says to those people he's writing to is to help them understand the certainty of where they'll be forever. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have what? Eternal life, that you may know that you have eternal life. Flip back to chapter 3, verse 24. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Chapter 4, verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. By this you may know, by this we know, confidence in the day of judgment. Remember the big question? There are some of the answers right there. And it's not because of you and what you have earned, but because of God's grace offered to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. How can I be sure? Or can I? God put together a large number of credible evidences to show us the Scriptures are true. And you know what, brothers and sisters, we don't have to accept that blindly. There isn't a sticker on our doors that say, check your brains at the door when you come in. The reasons that we have for believing that God's word is true, the reasons that we have for believing that Jesus is the Son of God, are the same kinds of reasons that we have for everything else that we accept to be true in life. We need to get a handle on what's true. Jesus said, knowing truth from him would make you free. Truth isn't something to be afraid of. Truth is something to pursue. Not being sure that you're right with God, that's something to fear, isn't it? But that is a fear that you can be freed from today. You can't be in a situation in life, remember, where that decision is just something that you perpetually put off. One day, maybe, one day, wait till tomorrow, one day that becomes no. Maybe this morning you're in that situation where that's been your answer to the Lord up to this point in your life. Maybe, 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 wait. I hope you realize that you can't keep saying that. The truth is, you can know that you're in a right relationship with the Lord. You can know it because his word is true. You can know it because he has spelled out in his word how you can be in a right relationship with him. We want you to make that choice today. We believe that the Lord wants you to make that choice, and we believe that that's the most important thing that you could do today. We are prepared here every week for people to become a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't know that we can say it too often. How do you do that? Scripture spells it out really clearly. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. What a great message. What a great step to take today. I'm going to ask you please to stand with me. We're going to pray together, and as we do that today, I hope that you'll think about your response to Christianity being the marriage proposal to the human soul. And I hope today you'll consider your relationship with the Lord and how you can be sure. When we dismiss from here, I'm going to be in the connecting point. I'm there for the purpose of visiting with people about their relationship with the Lord. But I guess I want to make it clear that from this moment on is an appropriate time for anybody who wants to become a Christian to make that known. And so if that means you would right now step forward and say, I want to become a follower of Christ, now is a great time to do that. If it means you need to visit with somebody and learn a little bit more about what it means to become a Christian, then please don't leave here today and skip that. Step back and visit with me. Let me sit with you. Let someone from our church family visit with you so that we can go over from God's word what it means to follow Christ. Let's make good choices for him today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. It's truth. Thank you that we don't have to walk day to day in fear, in uncertainty. Thank you that the big questions are answered by your truth. God, I pray that we would bear that in our minds today, that we would not be comfortable outside of a right relationship with you, that we would not carry around uncertainty that dishonors you. But Father, help us please right now to settle the issue, to make sure that we're right with you. God, I pray for choices that will honor you. We thank you that we have that opportunity, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.